Throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus and his disciples proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. Here, Jesus offers several brief parables that explore the implications of this announcement for people's lives. The Holy Gospel for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old, the gospel of the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody, as we gather today for our children and family time. You know, now that I think a minute, maybe I shouldn't have said, good morning, everybody. I should have said, avast, ye mateys. Because today we're going on a treasure hunt. After all, one of the parables this morning was about finding treasure hidden in a field. That kind of reminded me of a treasure map where X marks the spot. I'm sure you've seen those before. You've maybe played those games as a child, and you know, today, this afternoon, when I get home, I might just sit down and do this myself. Who knows? X marks the spot. And so we need to find where the treasure is. And on this particular map, we have a compass, which is going to help us. We have a line here showing how we should go to get to X, the spot where the treasure is buried. And on this particular treasure map, we are going to use a little ship to get to that spot. As we go there, you'll notice there's perils along the way, things that are going to make it hard to get to that spot where the treasure is buried. You know, that's how it usually is with treasure, isn't it? It's put in a place that's not easy to find and that maybe will involve some risk and some danger. And so we have to think, is it worth it? Do I want the treasure that bad? To risk? Well, today, my mateys, I want to show you that X does mark the spot, but it's not hard to find. Do you realize it's right here? As we hear today, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Here's a cross. And you know, if I hold the cross like this, if I tilt it slightly, what do we have? The X. X marks the spot. That's where our treasure is. The greatest treasure you and I can have is right here. Right here. Christ is our greatest treasure. An old hymn of the church, Jesus, priceless treasure, kind of brings that home, reminds us. You know, in life, I'm always looking for treasure, something that I think is going to make me happier. And sometimes I have been disappointed. And I realize now that the treasure I really need, the treasure that will bring me true riches, is right here. Because only here can we find the gifts God gives. Can we find hope and joy and peace and love and compassion? Those kinds of gifts you cannot buy, even if they're on sale. No, they're here. Christ in his love for us has died for us so that we might have those gifts. So, X marks the spot. Started on your forehead when the cross of Christ was marked there. Christ comes to us where we are and gives us those gifts. And so today, let's give thanks to this God who has searched us out and found us and given us true treasure. Let us pray. Our good Lord, today we thank you that you have found us, that you have sought us out, that you have claimed us as your children, that you have marked us with your cross. Help us to remember, O Lord, the gifts that you give. And let us treasure those above all things of earth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I just completed my 14 days of self-isolation, and so I'm thankful that both my daughter and I were negative on our test for COVID, and I appreciate all of your thoughts and prayers. They mean a lot for my daughter and I. So what do you do when you're in self-isolation? Well, I discovered some things that I hadn't planned on. One of my daughter's favorite shows is Say Yes to the Dress. And so I don't know how many episodes I watched, but let me just say I watched enough of them. I did, though, venture out a couple times. I stayed in the safety of my car. I had to go to the drive-up at the bank, and I had to mail some bills. Both times I ventured out, I noticed something. Costco is coming to town, and it's not even Christmas. In both Bismarck and Mandan, there are little kiosks set up in various parking lots with people excitedly waving a sign for having you stop and sign up for a membership. Now, I must say, I'm kind of excited about that. You see, my sister Karen, before she passed away, was a huge Costco fan in the state of Washington. My brother-in-law, Ted, called her the queen of Costco, because she knew exactly where everything was. And so now I guess I'm excited too to see inside when it opens just what they have to offer. What I'm most excited about, I'm excited to see the carts. Why? Well, because my reference point here is Sam's Club. Now, one thing about Sam's Club that I find extremely interesting is their carts are huge. When you take a cart and start going down the aisles, you feel like you're piloting your private Queen Mary, that you're just ready to go and you can take on anything. Now, if that cart isn't big enough, Sam's Club also has that other cart, you know, the one that looks like a 4x8 sheet of plywood with wheels under it, with a big push bar. I've used those a few times. I must say, it's an exciting thing to be able to push something like that without having a commercial driver's license. It's exciting to me. Why do I bring all this up? Well, in self-isolation, a Sam's Club brochure came to our home in the mail, and as there's not a lot of other stuff to do, I perused it some. Right now, they have a special on Ziploc storage bags. They have a pack now that has 580 sandwich bags, 216 quart-sized bags, and 208 gallon-sized bags. I have one of those gallon-sized things at home. I think I've had it about 7 years, and there's probably at least 10 left in there. I figure if I would buy that pack, I would have enough for the next millennium. Then they had on sale 96-count packs of Tyson chicken tenders. 96. That's a lot. But I think what really caught my eye was this. Of course, I'm bemoaning the fact there's no Minot State Fair this year. But I can relive that experience if I buy the special they have right now of State Fair mini corn dogs. 65 count. No limit. Now that sounds like fun. Again, why do I mention this? Well, what I take from this is that both Costco and Sam's Club specialize in bulk packaging. That's how they're set up, and it's a great thing. But today, Jesus seems to have gotten into that mode as well. Now, last week when Pastor Mark preached, he had one parable. That's all I need at a time. Because to me, parables are perplexing. A lot of metaphorical language operating at many levels. Jesus, I can only take one of those at a time. But oh no. Today, Jesus gives us five parables. Bulk packaging. And for me, it's hard to focus. It's hard to concentrate. What is Jesus getting at today? Why do we need so many parables in rapid-fire succession? Maybe because there's some common threads there. You know how it is with people? You hear something, then you hear it again, and then you hear it again, and maybe the fourth or fifth time, I'll go, huh? like it finally hits me, I get the meaning. The kingdom of heaven is like. Didn't get it? Well, the kingdom of heaven is like. Still didn't get it? The kingdom of heaven is like this. Every time a different story, every time a different tool, every time a different perspective, but they all have a common thread. This morning, I'd like to focus for just a couple minutes on what I've found for me to be the common threads in those five parables. The first common thread is hidden. Something is hidden. It's not in view. Another common thread is insignificant. Now we have hidden and insignificant. Both of those things seem rather removed, rather detached, rather unassociated. But there's two other words that tie those parables together. Those words are growth and discovery. So let's put those things together today. What's hidden? What's insignificant? How does something that's hidden and insignificant change? It changes through growth and discovery. I think the point of the parables today is this for me. A lot of times in life, I feel rather insignificant. I feel I don't have the right gifts. I feel I don't have enough confidence or intelligence. I feel I'm not really contributing to the work of the kingdom. Hidden. Sometimes I feel that way. Maybe you do too. And the current situation of life that you and I are in right now kind of reinforces that. We're all kind of hidden, aren't we? Tucked away, secure, trying to be safe. But I think even pre-COVID, we were all hidden from one another. Just faces in a crowd. It seems hard for us to be able to reveal our true selves to one another. We are good with our masks. Today, Jesus is trying to bring about some change. And he's trying to bring about change through us. Jesus does not want us to remain hidden. Jesus does not want us to remain insignificant or to look at ourselves that way anymore. We are all fed and nurtured people. Jesus feeds us with his word, with his body and blood. He nurtures us. We are then to grow like that mustard seed. Jesus is yeast in us so that we can grow and develop. Jesus is that in us which enables us to grow and discover. And as we get to that last parable today with the net. It involves some risk. When you throw the net out into the water, you don't know what you're going to get. And Jesus says you will get both the good and the bad. But you risk anyway. You throw the net out anyway. You and I are called to do that, to be that agent of growth and discovery that the world needs today. And so that is my challenge, and I hope your challenge, that we see that the kingdom of God is like you and me, fed and nurtured, called to grow and discover and risk and do those kinds of things that will make the kingdom even closer. Today, I think sometimes we need to be honest. Sometimes when I'm honest with myself, I think the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is rather hidden. I don't really see it at work in the world. Do you? I see the church as being insignificant in society anymore. Do you? When we feel that way, what do? We come out of hiding. We realize that we're called to grow and risk and do those kinds of things. Jesus reminds us over and over and over again today. That's how the kingdom becomes significant. How it becomes no longer hidden, but visible. It's through you and I who have been marked with the cross, who have been sent out and fed, when we do that kind of thing. So next time you're at Sam's Club, or when you go to Costco, and I hope they have nice carts, remember what really fills you and I up. It's those gifts of God given to us that only God can give. Thanks be to God. Amen.